There's no reason why that couldn't be your story.
You don't have an expiration date.
Oh, I love that. This is the Authors and Agents Podcast.
Noemi, I'm so excited to have you here with me today to learn about you and to hear about your journey through publishing. So let's start off by having you tell me about your most recent release that came out in November, Where We Belong.
Right. So Where We Belong is the second installment in the Evermore series, and it follows Finn and Lexi. And it's also a standalone book, so like it's an interconnected series, but you can definitely just join for the second book. So this is a sports romance that follows Lexi, who is a professional gymnast, who kind of has her career ended after an injury and wants to get back to it. And no gym will have her except one in a small town of Vermont where she moves. And there she rents a small cabin on a Christmas tree farm where she meets Finn, who's the owner of the of said farm. And the book is a very slow burn sports romance again, that's very tender, very sweet, but that also has a lot of steamy scenes. So kind of a slow burn that gets good rewards by the end of it. Again, you don't have to have read Aaron and Ren's story in the first book. You can definitely just join for the second book. But ideally, you would read the first two books.
Oh my goodness.
Well, the first book, the so first that one. You can join for the second one, yeah.
I love that it's slow burn, but also that we're rewarded for enduring the slow burn, right?
Exactly. That's what we love.
Oh my goodness. I love everything about it. I totally want to own a Christmas tree farm someday. Like, I think that would be like dream job, right? Like,
right.
Just the aesthetics of it is just my favorite. So this is, you know, such an accomplishment and a journey. This is book number 5 that you've published. Is that right?
I think so. Yes.
Yeah. You're like, you're right. I've lost track. There's so many. Well,
yeah. It's book 5. You're
book
right.
Book five. I looked it up. I counted. So
thank you.
So, I mean, how exciting, book number 5. So tell me a little bit about your journey to this point to having book number 5 come out in the world.
Right. So this is book number 5 that's published, but it's definitely not book number 5 that's been written. So I started writing in 2020 during the pandemic. I like in my other life, I am a resident doctor. So like at the time I was a medical student, and med school kind of slowed down with the pandemic and I just got into writing. I wrote a novel that I queried that I definitely should not have queried because it was really bad.
We've all done it.
Yeah. Because I was really set on traditional publishing. I didn't know anything about indie publishing actually. And so I queried that book a lot. It failed. I actually signed with a small publisher for that book, which ended up being kind of a scam. And I ended up getting out of it before the company kind of
good
got, you know, there canceled and everything.
Okay, that's good.
So I never actually got into anything from this book, and I'm really happy that I didn't because it was definitely a practice book. And then I wrote my second book called A Risk on Forever. I queried that one a lot as well. It failed. I then wrote a third book that was a rom-com that very much fit what was, you know, popular in 2021 in the queering industry. I signed with an agent. The agent left publishing. I ended up losing, you know, my opportunity. And I was like, you know what? This is it. I really wanted to be published. I wanted to get my words out there. So I just, you know, I really, really was in love with my second book called A Risk on Forever. And so I decided to publish that one as an indie author. And it did quite well for a debut book. And I was really happy with it. I started building my little community. And I just decided to, you know, stick with the indie route for that time. And now we're 5 books in. And I still love it just as much. And it's been a really, really fun journey.
I'm glad you look back on it and you're like, it was a fun journey, because I'm sure in the moment right. of like, you almost got scammed by the little publisher, and having an agent who then left, you were probably like, this is not fun. But looking back.
No, it was not fun at all.
Now, though, you're like, actually, okay, I'm glad for all the things I went through to get to this point. You know, I think there's something so special about indie publishing and traditional publishing. They're both so great, depending on what you are wanting out of it, right? But the more I do indie publishing or talk to other indie authors, there's so much I love about it too, that I'm like, I don't know if I could go like back to wanting to query and do traditional publishing. Maybe someday.
Especially that like the querying journey is so rough on like everyone. And, you know, it was really rough for me, like mentally and emotionally. And I know it's the same for everyone. And it's just like getting rejected again and again and again, and feeling like your work is kind of in the hands of someone you don't know, and you really have no way to, you know, get your work out there in traditional publishing if no one takes a chance on you. And that's very hard to kind of accept and to continue pushing through, even though you know that you might never get published. It might never work out and it's out of your control. And that was something I found very difficult. And you kind of like, can you even call yourself an author if you haven't gotten published and no one wants to buy your book? Like, you're like, I love my book. I love the work that I did with it. And I know a lot of people could like it, but is it actually good if no professional wants it? And that was something that I struggled a lot with while trying to get traditionally published. And that's something that I was able to kind of get over with indie publishing.
I definitely agree with you there. I was one too who was so hardcore traditional publishing that like, and I had a family member who indie published and was sort of that like, stereotypical indie published, you know, that we all know and why some people have this stereotype or stigma about it. But yeah, I reached a point last year where I was feeling the exact same things. And I was like, you know what? No, people will like this book. People will enjoy reading it. Yes, they may not have the marketing team of a big five publisher, but if I can get it into 100 people's hands, like that will be good enough for me, right?
Exactly.
And I think there's something very fulfilling from writing for yourself, writing the stories you love, and connecting with the people who love them, even, you know, though you're not traditionally published, it is just as amazing and rewarding in my mind.
Right. It definitely comes with its own challenges, but I think that for me, it was just the right thing to do because I wanted my book in people's hands. And I was, again, just like you, if only 100 people read it, that's going to be enough for me because it's better than zero, right? And so I might never get the big career with the tens of thousands of books sold and stuff like that. But, you know, it was a choice. I was like, better that than nothing. And I'm glad I did because it allowed me to like build an audience and to connect with readers and, you know, to form really nice connections all over the world.
I will say, I think getting bad 3-star, 2-star reviews is so much better than getting query rejections in your email inbox a year after you queried somebody. I will go to my grave on that.
100%. I will take a 1-star, this book is crap review any day over a query rejection.
Yes.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Because at least that person hopefully read the majority of your work and not just the first 5 pages, right? Like, okay.
Exactly. Like, they gave me a chance.
Yes.
That was fun.
Yes. So I feel like we've sort of already answered this in our conversation that we've been having. Right. But what is your most favorite part of indie publishing? And what is, you know, maybe your least favorite part or most challenging part?
Right. So I'd say my favorite part is, you know, actually not having to wait on an agent or a publisher to decide that my book is good. Like if I like a certain part of the story and I really want it to stay, it stays. And that's it. So it's fun to have control. And it's also fun to, you know, I was able to get published. Like 20 years ago, when self-publishing really wasn't a thing, I would never have gotten published probably. Like, I don't know that I would have continued to query. And now I have 5 books out and I have readers and I have an audience. And that's something that I probably never would have had if I just continued with the querying. Because, you know, traditional publishing is great so long as you fit into certain criteria, and it's kind of hard to know what those criteria are. Like, you might think that your book is very commercial and it's very like it's very marketable, but then again, there are some little things that don't quite work with the market right now, and it just won't get published or won't get picked up for XYZ reason. And it's hard to know what those reasons are. And I felt like at some point I was just writing to get published, and I was not writing things that I actually love, but I was writing just to meet XYZ criteria. And indie publishing allows me to kind of, you know, follow my gut and do what the story asks me to do and asks of the characters without feeling obligated to follow certain paths for the characters. So that's really what I love most about indie publishing. What I don't like about it is probably, you know, again, not having a big publishing team by my side. So I have no one to do my marketing. I have no one to guide me. Because again, once you start as an indie publisher, I didn't study marketing. You know, I don't know what works well to sell books or to, you know, build an audience on Instagram or TikTok. Or I don't know what kind of money I should invest in marketing versus what kind of money I should invest in other things. And so you're kind of left on your own trying to figure stuff out without any of the knowledge that you should have. So you kind of, you know, build strategies based on what works and what doesn't. And I always feel like I'm doing, like, I don't know what I'm doing most of the time, and I'm just trying stuff out and seeing what works and what doesn't. And I really would like to have a big team by my side to be like, okay, you need to post 3 times a week and you need to do this and this and this to have your book get popular on BookTok, or for like big book talkers to pick up your book, or for like libraries to want to hold events for you or stuff like that. So that's what I'm pretty much missing from indie, is just that like support system and, you know, having an agent that tells me like, yeah, your book is good, like this is gonna sell. Because right now I'm like, no agent wanted it. So like,
right,
is it just that it's bad, or is it just that it wasn't for them?
Yep.
Versus like, if I was in trad, I'd be like, okay, at least like I have industry professionals who believe in me and say that this book is good, so it probably is good. So yeah, I feel like that's what I would love the most about trad pub.
Yeah. I have two thoughts. So, you know, I love that, you know, you're able to, in indie publishing, the control piece is like the good and bad, right? Like you have total control over everything, which is awesome, but you also have total control over everything, which you're like, oh my gosh, someone help me. I once heard an agent say, like, their advice for authors was to write to the industry, write to what an agent will want to buy, which I get that advice, and that works for traditional publishing. It just sort of broke my heart as an author to read, right? Like, no, I don't want to write for the likes of somebody else, right? So I agree that that is such a great part of indie. But yeah, there should, and there are so many great indie authors out there, and maybe there's indie communities that I'm just not quite sure of yet.
Right.
Oh, hello, little boy. But I think, yeah, we all need the cheerleaders on our side in the indie community. And it can be hard when you don't know anybody else in your life who is an author, or, you know, you're only connected to people through social media. It's like, that's hard to get that support for sure.
Yeah. I'm also like a little author from Canada who like is very far from everyone else. So I'm like, you know, I see all these little indie authors like who have their own communities in like LA or San Francisco or New York or Boston. And I'm like, I'm stuck in Quebec where it's like minus 40 outside and I'm alone.
Nobody's going outside. Nobody's doing anything.
Nobody's going outside. I'm not meeting anyone. Like, I'm alone in here.
Well, here, we've connected. And if you ever need to complain, I'm here for
you. Thank you so much.
I will listen. I will do my best to brainstorm. On social media, though, I try my best. In my day job, I run social media for a small business account. And it is like, it's always trying to figure out, the beast always changes, right? Like what they want you to do. That is such a hard part of trying to stay relevant on social media. So let's travel back to where we belong. Your most recent release has been out for a couple, 3-4 months. I don't know time anymore. But tell me,
I don't know.
But tell me, what is something you hope readers take away from this story?
I mean, I think from this story and from the series in general, I feel like it's a story about learning how to love yourself, and that everyone is deserving of their own type of love. I feel like my characters often start off by thinking that like no one could ever love them for who they are, and that you know, they're not deserving of it, and actually going through the process of finding someone who is right for them and that teaches them that maybe, like, they do deserve love, it's just that they hadn't found the right type of love before. And so, I feel like that's what I want readers to take from it, just that, like, you know, if you haven't found the love of your life yet or the person that makes you feel like you deserve love, it's just that you haven't found the right person yet.
I think we all need that reminder at some point in our life, right?
Right.
That is a great thing to read. So in addition to the slow burn, the spice, the lustiness, remember, people, it's out there. Just, you know, sometimes we have to wait longer than we want to.
That's it. And my characters are quite old. Like, some of them are in their 30s and, you know, they find love for the first time in their 30s, and that's fine. And that's, like, that's frequent. Oftentimes in our 20s, we're like, if I don't find love now, like in college, I'm going to die alone. Like, that's it. That is it for me. Like, no one wants me and I will die alone. And that's not the truth. Like, a lot of people find their one true love in their 40s, and that's totally fine. Yes. So, like, keep going.
It's just means it's more special, right? You just had to wait longer for it.
You just haven't found your person yet.
Yes. So when you love to read, who are some of your favorite authors to read and why do you love them?
There are so many. I feel like I love different authors for different reasons. There are three authors that I can think of that I just love their writing style, like, for the, not even the story, like, I love their stories, but if we go past the story, just the way that they write very commercial stories in writing that almost feels lyrical and almost literary. So I have Taylor Jenkins Reid, who does it so well. Emily Henry, and Kate Claiborne, three authors who write amazing, very marketable and very commercial stories, but with writing that always takes my breath away. And then there are the authors who I read most of, like, for their sense of humor. And I think that's, like, in reading, it's a very hit or miss thing for me, humor. And it's very personal as well. Like, we all have different senses of humor, but those authors just do it for me. Ali Hazelwood, Sarah Hogel, Christina Lauren, Abby Jimenez, just, like, always funny, but always really heartfelt and, like, mixing the humor that is not, like, cringy, but that really just fits well with the romance. And it just, like, creates a perfect blend of it. And then if we go, like, to my queen, Mariana Zapata, she writes the best slow burns of all time.
Amazing. The absolute
best. I am just so obsessed with her. Like, I want to be her when I grow up. There's something about her books I feel like crack. I don't know. Like, I just, they're the books accurate. That I have reread the most.
Yeah.
I can't get over them. And then if we just go for, like, my biggest inspirations in terms of, like, emotional stories and very, like, powerful and deep stories, I would go with a classic, Colleen Hoover, and Kristen Hannah, who just, like, write the best emotional romances and emotional stories, in my opinion.
I have never read a Colleen Hoover book, and a friend just lent one to me, so I'm gonna try it. It's sort of she's sort of almost an author that people have such strong opinions about that I'm afraid to pick up a book and try it at this point.
I know, but you know, like, 3-4 years ago, she was on top of the world, and then it kind of became popular to hate on her.
That's true.
And now everyone hates on her, and I'm like, you know, like, you all loved her 5 years ago. What happened? Because, like, she was the best of all time, and now she's, like, the worst. What happened? So, like, I like to form my own opinion. I'm like, it's very popular to hate on her right now, but, you know, she's the one who inspired me to pick up my computer to start writing. She's, like, a very big inspiration for me, because she started off as an indie author and ended up becoming, like, this worldwide phenomenon. So even if it's very popular to hate on her right now because she's on top of the world, I will continue to support her because she honestly writes such great books.
Okay, well, I didn't know all of that. I'm going to pick up the book with a fresh, open mind, and
please do.
It's gonna be great. She recommended Verity. Do you have a different one that, like, you recommend to read first?
I mean, Verity is, like, in a category of its own. Like, if you're looking for romance, I wouldn't start with that one, but it's so good. Like, it's one of the most unique books I've ever read. So, like, it's an amazing book, but I feel like if you want to start with, like, a good romance, I would either go with Ugly Love or reminders of him. But, you know, they're all amazing, to be honest. Like, I'm always in awe of her talent. So, like, again, if Colleen Hoover has no fans, I'm dead.
Okay, I'm going to write it down. What was Ugly Love and what was the other one?
Reminders of Him.
Reminders of Him. All right, I'm going to do it.
I also love All Your Perfect. It's, like, a great second chance, like, Marriage in Trouble.
Okay.
Romance. It's so emotional, so beautiful. I love it.
I'm putting them all down. I'm going to give it a try. I sort of just have been scared because, yes, people are loving to hate on her.
Where I'm I like, know.
I sort of just didn't want to enter the conversation about it.
I think you should. I think you should.
Okay. So my next question for you, thinking back to when you first kind of really were getting into writing, figuring out what you wanted to do, you know, querying, thinking about indie, you know, that place in your life you were, what is some advice you would like want to give to another author who was in that space?
Right. I think looking back, I would say to give myself some grace and to give myself time. Like when I started writing, I was like, you know, the first book that you write has to be the one that gets published and it has to be now. It can't be in 2 years. It has to be now. Like I was so in a rush to be published and to, you know, get my words out there. And in a way, like it was good because I decided to go indie and I think that was very good for my career. But in another way, I was putting so much pressure on myself to get my work out there as soon as possible and to, like, you know, I don't have time to waste. I need to get a book out there. And, you know, like, I was 21 years old. Like, calm down, please. Like, you can take a breath. You can wait, you know? And I was so convinced that, like, if your first book wasn't the one that was published, like, it was a failure and you couldn't, like, waste a book. Like, it was such a waste to me to have written a book and to shelf it. And now that I think about it, the first book that I wrote, which was very bad, but it was like the most, it taught me so much about writing and about querying and about like tropes and about editing. And it's where I learned to edit by myself and it's where I learned to draft and where I learned like what doesn't work and what taught me to like listen to podcasts and that agents hate when the first chapter opens with a character who wakes up and opens their eyes from sleep. And that's what I did.
I feel like we all start there though, because there's something that just feels like, okay, you're starting the day. That's where the story should start.
Yeah, you're starting a story. You're waking up. Yeah. Like I had books, like my first book, it had like info dumps in the first chapter and it had a character waking up and it had very stunted dialogue and it was really bad, but it taught me so much. And like, if I could go back, I would tell myself like, hey, it's okay that your first book is not perfect because it's what is going to teach you to write a book and what's going to teach you to get a book out there that has like a good quality and that makes sense and that readers enjoy. And you know, it's okay if you publish your first book in 3 years. Like right now it feels horrible to wait 3 years to get your book out there because it feels like, what am I doing for 3 years? Just writing and not doing anything. Like my work is just meaningless and useless because my words are going to the trash, but it's not actually like going to the trash. It's just helping you like become a better author and learn your craft. It's kind of going to school. Like if you go to school for 3 years before getting your master's or whatever, or getting your bachelor's degree, it's not going to be a waste of time. You're actually learning stuff before getting to work. And, you know, that's how I should have seen it. Like it's kind of going to school, writing your first book. And it's not like actually knowing what you're doing. So I would go back and I would give myself some grace and I would tell myself that if I don't get published for another 2-3 years, it's fine. Like just take that time and work on your craft and you're going to get there eventually.
I think that's great advice. I have felt that so many times in my publishing journey. And I think too, it's even though I know and I recognize that okay, traditional publishing is such a slow industry. You see all these people and they're like, they've got all these books coming out. I want mine to be the exact same.
And yes, even like the jealousy is very real in that industry. And I think that like saying that you're not jealous at all would be to lie. Like Every time I saw a book deal, I wanted to cry. And like, I hated myself for it because I wanted to be happy for my friends and happy for the people who get all the nice things. But then again, I kept thinking like, why isn't that me? Like, why are all these people getting agents on their first try? And like, you know, they just started writing and they're getting their agent and they're getting a book deal in 2 weeks. And like, I've been here for 2 years and it's not happening for me. Why? And so like, it really bothered me that I was so jealous and that I wanted that for me instead of like just being happy for them. And I think that's something that happens even now. Like I have my own career, but I see other people who are more successful or who have more sales or who are more popular. And it's very hard to keep yourself from getting a bit of jealousy towards these people, even if you love them, even if they're great friends. You're like, you know, I wish that was me. And that's something that I still have to work on, because you know what everyone says in the publishing industry is, look at your own paper, don't like go around looking at other people's careers or like their sales or their awards or whatever. Just do your own thing and, you know, focus on your thing. But it's very hard when you're on social media and you see all these people, you know, even like indie publishers getting picked up by traditional publishers, getting picked up by trad publishers and who get major book deals. And you're like, why isn't that me? And then I take a step back and I'm like, you know, be happy for what you have and stop being, you know, stop wanting more and stop being greedy and just like wanting what everyone else has. But it's very hard not to compare yourself. And so I would also go back to my 21 year old self and be like, you know, look at your own paper, do your own thing. It will happen for you at some point and stop comparing yourself. But then again, that's like very easy to say, very hard to do. And still now it's hard to do. And I'm sure that's the same for you, like, yes, to not compare yourself and to be like, why is this book that has like a similar premise to mine so popular, whereas mine is not as popular? It's very hard.
I think it's hard too. Like, I love and am so grateful for all the agents who have ever been on my podcast. It's been like crucial to, you know, just my knowledge. And I know lots of listeners have used it to query those agents better. It's like so amazing that they take their time to do that. One of them who, her interview isn't out yet. I don't think it will be by this time either that this comes out. But she was telling me, you know, like how she'll have to pass on writing that's really, really, really good. And she really likes it. She just can't sell it. And I'm like, that's just so frustrating. And then
I know
they can't it's not that they can't tell you that, they don't have the time to tell you that, they don't, you know. And so it's like, that is truly the hardest part of like looking at your own paper, not comparing, is just like, I remember feeling so many times like, is my writing really bad? Like, I got really close with a couple of agents, did a revise and resubmit with one agent, and she loved my writing, it was so great, but it just wasn't, you know, commercial enough for the market at the time. I just remember being so frustrated by all of that, where I was just like, you know what? I was like, no, this story's good. And I eventually, you know, I sat on that one for 3 years before indie publishing it. But I think that is truly the most infuriating part about traditional publishing for me. It's just the fact that it's not always the best writing or the best stories that get published. Right. It's just sort of,
what works at the time, for
and luck,
the industry. Sure.
So I just got a couple questions left for you. I'd love to know, you know, you love to write romance, which, hey, I'm not complaining about. Romance is amazing. But if you were ever to genre hop, what is a different genre you would like to try writing?
I think there's always going to be romance in my books. Like, I don't think I could write a book without romance, because I don't read books without romance. Like, even if I read thrillers, I read a lot of thrillers, there needs to be some kind of romance in it. Or, you know, maybe for thrillers I can make an exception if it's like an amazing thriller, but like, I think I would like to one day write a YA book, but that would be more romance-y, so like YA romance. But I love the coming of age stories in YA, and I think like there are so many YA books that like saved me at 16, 17, 14 even, that like, you know, kept me going and that gave me encouragement for my day. So I would love to do that at some point. And you know, I always think of like romanticy, especially like now it's super popular, but even like a few years ago I was thinking about it, just because like fantasy is where like my love for reading started, and it's what got me into reading romance and what got me to writing romance. So I'd love to go back to my roots at some point and write a fantasy romance, but at the same time, it's very daunting to me, because I feel like romance, you know, it's always kind of the same parts that come back, and it's quite not easy to write, but you know, there's a formula that works every time. Whereas with like fantasy, you need to really think outside of the box and you need to be very creative. And you know, there are so many out there, and you need to have different tropes that are very different.
And you've got to build a whole world, and
right, you have to build a whole world. Like that's so daunting. Like very you need daunting. To build a magical system and a magic system, and you need to, you know, build powers or build, you know, it's so like you have to build another world, and that's very scary to me. But then again, like it's so rewarding when you have a very good fantasy romance. So you know, maybe one day, maybe I'll think about it. But for now, I think that's I'm not smart enough for it.
Oh, stop it! You are smart enough for it. But I will say, like it's daunting to me too, because I feel like I would need to have charts and notes and like really, really organized to like keep all of that straight. Because the people who do it well are amazing, and I love that their brains work that way. But yeah, I don't know if I could ever do like a full on fantasy sort of creation.
It's really hard. It's really like you need to, and I feel like I need to take like a year break to be able to like plot it out. And I'm like, I'm not really ready to like leave out writing for a year. I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
Yeah, I also think for me, like, it might be too much for my brain to think about, and it might, like, take away the fun of drafting and writing something too, right? Like, maybe it'll just be for us, we can just enjoy them and read them.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to settle for that, because, yeah, you're right. Like, I think if I'm not passionate about a project, I just won't want to do it.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, if I'm going to spend all this time with all the other things that you have going on, I have going on in my life, right? Like, you've got to be so into it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, two questions left. I'd love to know who has been the biggest supporter of your writing.
I feel like that would be my, like, some of my close readers. Like, there are a few readers that have been with me, like, for the past 2 years.
Love that.
And who really, really support my work. And, you know, you probably have those too, like, you know, the readers that always comment on your posts and that always like are so excited when you release a new book and are so excited to share it with the world. And there are like 3-4 in my head that I can think of that I'm like, without these people, I don't know that I would have continued. At some point, I would probably have given up, because like no one likes my books, no one wants to read them, like I should just stop. And then there are like these 4 girls who are just like, no, please continue, we love them. And I'm like, you know, I love them with my whole heart. And you know, family members and my fiance and stuff, like they're great to, you know, encourage me to keep going, but they don't really understand the book world. And you know, they're like, they don't understand indie versus trad. They don't understand it because it's not part of their world, and that's fine. So I feel like having these 3-4 girls who are always there for me and always support my work is really what keeps me going.
Oh, I love those cheerleaders. Those are the best. And I think I think it's important to have the people within your close circle, like your fiance, your friends, your close family, you know, who are supportive of it. Like my husband doesn't understand or even really read books. He tries his hardest, but he just is not a reader. He's very supportive, and he always is like, sign this for me, you know, like very supportive, very sweet. We'll do group texts and share it with everybody.
That's so sweet.
But I have a friend who's a big reader and who loves books, who is like a cheerleader like that for me, who reads my very chaotic books from the very moment I'm drafting them. And then she always cheers me on. And I think that's so important.
Right.
So my last question for you, it sounds very difficult, but it is not. I'd love to know what your favorite book is right now. Not your favorite book of all time, just something you've read recently that you're like, this is so good and I want other people to read it too.
That is so hard. I feel like I have read so many good books recently. I would probably go with Love Theoretically by Allie Hazelwood, which I absolutely loved. I love women in STEM and, you know, romance that involves like the scientific world. I think it's so good. And Allie Hazelwood just has a way with words and just like hooks me into her books all the time. And I also read recently an arc of The Other Side of Disappearing by Kate Claiborne, which was so good. Again, Kate Claiborne is
she's one of your faves. Master
with words. She finds ways to like make characters that feel so real. They feel like fleshed out. And, you know, it's as an author, the joy of reading has kind of changed for me. Like before, I could just read books and not analyze them at all. I would just like be like, oh, I enjoyed the story and that's it. But as an author now, I kind of cannot take off like this side of me that kind of analyzes books and that is like, oh, you know, I would have cut this out, or I would have changed that POV, or I would have, you know, edited this or changed that. But with these two authors, I always have nothing to say because their craft is so wonderful and I'm such an awe of their work. And so, yeah, I kind of miss that part of me that was able to just enjoy a book without analyzing it.
Yeah, like actually relax when you read a book, right?
Yeah, just like reading and not being like, oh, I would have not chosen that word, or I would not have done that with the characters. Like, I don't like that character arc, but, you know, I feel like with Kate Claiborne and Allie Hazelwood, I can never be let down. And I learn so much from reading their books. And that's something that I really, really enjoy.
It sounds like those two authors, though, allow you the actual ability to relax when you read, right?
Exactly.
Which is probably very refreshing, where you're like, okay, there's nothing to critique. There's like, I can just fall into the story. And I think that's right. so important.
It also like makes me very jealous because I'm like, I wish I could write like that. But then again, like, it's just so enjoyable. Their stories are so good that I'm not even mad at it. No. Like, just continue rocking the world, queens. I will be there to support you.
Yes. I think we all need authors like that, though, where we read it and we're like, I wish I wrote this, or I wish I could write like this, right? It helps motivate us to keep going and to think of new things.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, Noemi, thank you so much for chatting with me today. I'm super excited to see what else comes your way. So you have another book coming out this year. Could you give us a little bit more information about it?
So Evermore 3 is coming out this year, probably end of summer 2024. And it follows Lillian, who you meet in Where We Belong. And it's a marriage of convenience, slow burn, emotional romance, like always. So keep your eye out for that. And I'm just really excited to keep sharing my work with the world. And, you know, for every single person who picks up my books, I'm so, so thankful for you. And thank you so much for having me on the podcast. That was like a dream come true. Because again, I've listened to that podcast since I started querying in 2020, 2021. So thank you so much for having me. It feels like full circle.
You're so welcome. I love that. I've had, I think, one of my other authors who I had on the podcast, I think at the beginning of this year, was the same sort of thing where she's like, I've listened to your podcast from the beginning. And I was like, you guys are the best. Like,
it's so much fun.
It's been so much fun. So thank you so much. And everyone, make sure to follow Noemi on Instagram so we can get it. You don't miss out on book number 3 and all the details.
Thank you so, so much.
Of course.